This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Brand new Black Keys song. I love it on the bumper list today. We have just a little bit later in the hour, we'll spend some time with Dave Simons. Not a great day on Wall Street this week, yesterday, today. But President Trump is encouraging patience, and we'll get with Dave, and he'll give us the tough medicine. Plus, I have an audio cut of the day. Good Lord, Sue, we screwed up on something really bad.
Well, Ready? We do sometimes. Every other year, I think we do this.
Well, we screwed it up today, yeah. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Fred, it's your birthday, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I was thinking I'd get by without anybody noticing.
Nope. You know who outed you?
No.
My wife.
Yep.
Because my wife was here with the girls, my daughter and some friends in the last hour. And after she left, she texted me and said, "Did you know it's Fred's birthday?" And I said, "Well, duh. We got a cake ready for him and everything." No.
Well,
how I don't have this on my calendar, I don't know. But you were kind of playing it kind of quiet here, too.
Well, aren't you supposed to?
Maybe.
What? Yeah, yes. You are. Yeah. You know, because you're an adult person.
Yeah, right. I just got that rain jacket, so I figured that takes care of it.
Well, that was a birthday and a vacation gift,
okay,
right?
Good deal.
So
yeah,
happy birthday,
thank
Fred.
You very much.
He tried to... I'm just going to ask one. Is, like, Medicare involved here? Maybe?
Mark Reardon.
Well, I mean, I'm getting
that
to...
That is not the question you
I just
asked.
Was trying to focus on the number.
No,
look,
no,
I got a,
you don't, no, it depends.
I got a six coming up. I'm not uncomfortable. Fred's already in the sixes, though, right?
That's right. I'm 65 today. Right.
That was Medicare.
I don't care
You'll
about
be fine,
that.
Fred. What don't I'm... worry about all the cuts to Medicare.
Just
you're going to be
fine. Don't retire. That's all I've got to
well,
say.
Well, I'm with Sue on that one, for sure. All right. Well, Fred, happy birthday. Do you
Thank
have birthday
you
plans tonight?
Nope.
Well, I don't feel bad about that because I'm not scheduling
I'm
birthday plans.
I'm feeling better all the time.
That's on Marie. Hey, our friend Azra Amani is back with us. She is a senior fellow at the Independent Women's Network. She is always full of fire. She brings it whenever she's a guest on this show. And she testified last week before the Senate Judiciary Committee, so we'll talk about that. Azra, how are you this afternoon?
I am great. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. There's a lot going on that sort of relate to your world or your famous, or not famous, your former world, because you went to Columbia University, didn't you?
You know what? I didn't. I didn't.
But I thought somebody was reporting that you did. That's where I read that somewhere. So is that is fake
yeah.
news?
But you know what? We all have a stake at what's going on in Columbia University, whether we attended or not. And I think that's, like, really an important point to make, actually, that we accidentally came upon right now, because what's happening at Columbia is a canary in the coal mine for what will happen across our entire nation if we don't stop it now. And that's why everybody needs to care, whether you're in St. Louis or California or Utah.
I want you to explain that. Let me tell you why I made that mistake, because I had a bunch of pieces in front of me, and there was a guy by the name of Artie Singe who wrote about you, and then his line was as an alumna of Columbia University. So I read that as you, and that was my mistake there. But why do you feel, and we can kind of get into some of these broader issues with what Trump did and the $400 million and, you know, the kid that's going to get deported as well. But why should we care here in the Midwest in St. Louis about this?
Yeah, you know, that's so awesome. I thought it might have been that column. So that columnist is actually a friend of mine, Aarti Tikku Singh. She's actually a woman journalist from India. And she was sitting behind me at the Senate Judiciary hearing. So she witnessed, you know, the effort that I made to document this network that exists in the United States of America of socialist, Marxist, Leninist organizations that are now working with Islamist organizations that are practicing a very radical interpretation of my birth faith of Islam. And so Aarti was making the point in that column that from Columbia University to, like, my native country of India, from where she's a journalist also, there is this global intifada happening. And so America is one battlefront. And everybody knows this, like, America is the prize. So they have to try to win in America to win the world. Mm-hmm. And I just want people to know that this is not just me being hyperbolic or anything. For what I testified in the Senate was that 23 years ago, on January 23rd, 2002, I waved goodbye to this friend of mine, Daniel Pearl, from the Wall Street Journal. Danny was kidnapped by militants who espoused the hate of Jews, America, and Israel that we're now seeing on our streets. And so for 22 years after I returned back from Danny's poor killing, then he was killed, I've been investigating this network. And so I've put together a database of 1,500 organizations, 1500, in this initiative that I called the Pearl Project, named for Danny. And so I've got the names, you know, the receipts, the money, they're based here, they're based there. And in your beautiful state of Missouri, you've got a chapter of the Party for Socialism and Liberation that is doing these same shenanigans.
You know, I'm glad that you said one of the things that I think people hear when they hear some of the words, whether it's communism or socialists or whatever, some of the things that get dropped in there. I often have to say, you know, because it might sound to some people as hyperbolic, Azra, but it's not. And this is real stuff that's going on, and you're doing a great job of exposing it, but people need to know. And this case at Columbia, now I don't know how you feel, because there's a lot of people, maybe even some on the right, that are uncomfortable with this move by the Trump administration to revoke this guy, Mahmoud Khalil's green card. So he is not a U.S. citizen. He's a permanent resident, though, I guess. And he is someone that is going to be deported by ICE because of his radical beliefs. Now, a lot of people think this is a free speech case. So what do you say about this?
It's about a citizenship case, and not literally, but being a good citizen of our world. You know, he obviously is not a U.S. citizen, but I will tell you that, you know, I have a perspective on this as an immigrant. I came as a child. My father was a student like this Mahmoud Khalil. My father came as on a student visa to Rutgers University. I came to accompany my parents. We got a green card when my dad got a job at West Virginia University as a professor. Then we took our citizenship test because it was on the path to being good citizens of the United States of America. That's what this is about. You know, the book that I wrote, as you know, is titled is Woke Army, but I love the subtitle, because it's the Red-Green Alliance. So the red is the self-proclaimed communist, socialist, Marxist, and the green is the Muslim groups, the Red-Green Alliance that is undermining America's freedoms. And they are exploiting our free speech in order to destroy the state. And this man, Mahmoud Khalil, I know this personality well. I mean, I've binge-watched, as everybody else has done that cares about this, his videos supporting Hamas, you know? And you cannot be a citizen and a resident and enjoy the rights of this country in our guest, you know, program, which is the green card and student visa and tourist visa program, and try to undermine our state and our agenda, because Hamas is a designated terrorist organization by the U.S. government. So it is an enemy of our state. So what are you doing on the streets of New York City fomenting support for Hamas?
Yeah,
you're just trying to undermine our interests.
I'm asking the same question. My friend Scott Jennings asked those questions last night on CNN as well. But help me out with one aspect of this. So, like, I'm reading an account of his situation in the Free Press at thefp.com, and it says, born in Syria, Khalil is a permanent U.S. resident. So how do you become a U.S. resident, permanent U.S. resident with the green card? Could you explain how that process works?
Yes. You know, we went through it, and what happened in our case is that my dad got full-time employment. I suspect in Mahmoud Khalil's case, he married this U.S. citizen, and then he got on the path to the green card process, because once you get married, you then can apply for a green card, and the process can take only as short as a year to 2 years. So in that time, we have rules, like really simple rules, like you cannot leave the country. So you know what I mean? There's terms of green card status, and people follow it. Like, people go visit their family before they apply for a green card because they know they can't travel outside the United States. So there's rules to everything, and that's what is happening is this. There's this industry. That's what I testified in the U.S. Senate. There's an industry of anti-Jew hate in America right now, and it is being imported into our country by malign foreign actors. And he is one of them. And what Mohammed Khalil represents is a 50-year importation of this dangerous ideology going back to the 1960s when I arrived in the U.S. My family made a choice. You know, we became leaders in progressive Islam, refusing this hate, refusing intolerance. And other people made a very different choice to practice an interpretation of Islam dedicated to creating a global caliphate and the destruction of Israel. And we now see their seeds on college campuses all across America and in organizations spread through America, including Missouri.
Yeah. Look, this now, when it comes to this Khalil guy, though, there are people, even like I indicated, some people on the right, I'm with you on this, right? But there are people who say, look, this is a free speech case. This guy is a permanent resident. He's protected by the Constitution. The flip side of this is the Immigration and Nationality Act, which was in 1952, a visa holder who endorses or espouses terrorist activity or persuades others to endorse or espouse terrorist activity or supports a terrorist organization can be deported. That seems pretty clear right there.
Yes. And what is happening is that this network of agitators is trying to exploit every freedom we have in America. You know, from the right to protest, right? Anywhere you want with a permit. They completely abuse that right. They deface our statues, right? And our memorials. They burn the American flag. And then they get another permit because our great America allows so much. You know, that's why people flock here. But Mahmoud Khalil is a symbol of those that have put America and Israel in their crosshairs and arrive here in order to build their network. And they are actually propagandists, you know, for extremism. And terrorism. And so that's so dangerous. I saw one time in the Mahmoud Khalil defense, you know, protests that are happening now, and it had the upside down red triangle, which is the symbol that Hamas uses to indicate its enemies' location.
Yeah. Right.
And I want to just tell people, because I love to be a predictor, but this isn't like, you know, amazing, but nonetheless, just expect tomorrow morning, everybody should be aware, be alert, that Mahmoud Khalil is going to go to court, and the socialist and Islamist organizations have all scheduled their protests on the streets. So you will see those viral videos, be prepared for them.
Oh, yeah.
And don't, I want to, you know what I always try to tell people, like, stand up with moral courage, speak with moral courage. Don't get intoxicated by their psychological operations in your brain. You know, that's so important. Don't allow empathy. Oh, he has a wife who's 8 months pregnant. Oh, we should just let it go. You know, that's what I'm hearing,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, they exploit everything to win your empathy and then create this situation where you practice almost suicidal decisions, you know?
Azra Amani's back with us. So on this group that he represents, Columbia University Apartheid Divest, CUAD, that's a group that openly supports terrorism at home and abroad. It's not even arguable. But what's interesting here is, and John Sexton chronicled this at hotair.com today, if you go back and you look, and this will not surprise you, Azra, you go back to the New York Times in October, they're talking about this group as a terrorist organization, right? And then all of a sudden, the last couple of days when they write about this, they act like it's not that big of a deal. They can't even keep their narrative straight.
No, the media has failed us because, you know, there have been these protests against Tesla and Elon Musk the last few days. And I read the stories, Reuters reported, grassroots movement. It's not. It is the Democratic Socialists of America who are creating. I get their emails. I get their Instagrams. You just go on their accounts. These are self-declared, quote, I'm reading the Socialist Alternative Instagram account right now. They describe themselves as, quote, socialists fighting oppression and capitalist exploitation.
Yes.
Yeah, they're trying to destroy the U.S. And so Mahmoud Khalil, that divest, I started laughing because that divest coalition literally includes this gardening club of Barnard because they have, you know, basically hijacked the brains of well-intentioned people to join their diabolical plan. And the real association that people need to pay attention to is Mahmoud Khalil is a leader of a group called Students for Justice in Palestine. And that was a creation of this UC Berkeley professor named Hatem Bazian. You can all remember his name because Hatem is, you can say it, Hatem, too. It's how you spell his name. And I'm just pulling people back to understand that it is a national effort. You know, this is not a one-off case. There are over 200 chapters of Students for Justice in Palestine throughout the country, and they are aligned with this, you know, their socialist counterparts, creating these fake AstroTurf organizations like this apartheid, you know, divest one.
Yeah. Where are they getting the money from? Who's supporting them financially?
Well, I'll tell you one person that everybody needs to know this name. And it's not a household name, but his name is Neville Roy Singham, S-I-N-G-H-A-M. The New York Times itself documented that he is a propagandist for China. He is a tycoon, tech tycoon, and he is funding two really important organizations in this network of those 1,500, Code Pink, which tries to call itself a peace group.
Right.
And the second one is the People's Forum, which is like this hoity-toity cafe type of place for socialists and Marxists. Again, self-described in New York City. So these guys, I see them. They're all at the Mahmoud Khalil protests. And if people don't believe me, read their signs. Look close at the bright yellow signs, and you'll see Party for Socialism and Liberation.
Well,
the bright white sign, and it's for ANSWER, a self-declared Marxist group. So what's my takeaway is, everyone, please believe what you see, you know, and believe your instincts about what you see.
Hey, look, just pay attention to CNN and MSNBC. They're kind of making the case for these hate groups in and of themselves. They're pretty good at that.
Yeah.
Azra, always great to have you on.
Gosh,
I hope all
you.
Is well. Great stuff. Glad you testified last week. We'll catch up
you.
Soon. Take care.
Thank you.
We got Dave Simons coming up next. The markets tanked again today, but should we be overly concerned? We'll talk about that coming up. Audio cut of the day as well.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Well, I think we got Brian Kilmeade coming up tomorrow for a visit. They still have, you know, we're selling this show that he's going to do on the 22nd extremely well. It's a variety show. I was actually told today that I'm going to play a little bit of a part. Brian's been teasing that, and I found out some details, so we may discuss that tomorrow. But there are VIP tickets available, so if you, even if you have tickets to the show, you can add on the VIP if you go to BrianKilmeade.com. It's an opportunity to sit with Brian, well, not to sit with him, but to meet him before the show. They come with a pre-signed copy of Teddy and Booker T. That's his most recent book. Of course, Bob and Tammy Krishoff, the Retirement Advisory Group, sponsoring the event. So there are regular tickets available. It's at the Factory in Chesterfield. There's a couple hundred left. We're expecting a sellout. The VIP tickets will go eventually as well. But if you go to BrianKilmeade.com, you can purchase those. We have an audio cut of the day coming up here before the end of the hour. I have a good friend, actually a former roommate of mine, Don Vicknair, old radio guy too. He's down in Houma, Louisiana. Louisiana. And I only call Don when there's a hurricane. He always teased me about that. He's like, you only want to talk to me when there's a hurricane. I have him on the radio. That's kind of like Dave Simons. We only talk when things have gone to hell on Wall Street. Right, Dave?
I'm your man. That's right. When the world is cracking up, you call me.
Yeah, that's right. Dave does a show over on the other side of the building, the host of Dollars and Cents. He's the managing director of One Private Wealth in Chesterfield. So, look, I've learned over the years that sometimes you got to wait. There's corrections. You got to be patient. I've seen the market bounce back very, very quickly, even in the past couple of years. But these are big numbers, big red numbers, so people get nervous. And I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous.
Well, yeah, you know, Wall Street, of course, doesn't like uncertainty, and there is so much uncertainty. But, Mark, I mean, kind of to your point, look, if something is announced tomorrow and the president says, look, I've been talking to so-and-so in that particular country, and he or she has agreed to do this, so we're going to pull the tariffs back, we're going to push it, then all of a sudden the market responds and goes up. I mean, that's just the kind of world in which we live. So, typically, I feel like I have a pretty good handle on sentiment. I have a pretty good handle on maybe where trends are going. I got to be honest, I have no such confidence now because it's really in the hands of various governments and their leaders and how they're all approaching this growing tariff war.
Yeah, so you got the tariff war. We may have a government shutdown. You have the situation with Ukraine. There's a lot of things going on at one time. Now, I'll be honest, Dave, the whole tariff stuff is not something within my little tiny brain's, you know, ability to understand because I know the pros and the cons. I see what's happening. To me, a lot of it seems like show. You even had Doug Ford up there today in Canada slapping a 25% tariff for three states that get electricity from Canada. Well, then they backed off on that because Trump has backed off in certain areas. It's kind of hard to keep track of all this too, isn't it?
It is, and that's and same with us investors. And on my side of the fence, frankly, Mark, as a professional manager, in terms of making sense of it, I will say in our little corner of the world, we started getting defensive a couple of months ago, and that's purely because the market seemed to be priced to perfection. There was a lot of hype coming in with the Trump administration coming in, and in my opinion, rightfully so, because this was going to be very pro-business and regulations were going to be cut, and perhaps we've got some corporate tax cuts still in the offing. So this is all very good. The market was responding favorably, but then I started to see, Mark, that the giddiness was getting to be a little bit too much. And so I thought we just need to pull back a little bit here and not buy into it. I had no idea that it would sell off quite this much. So I'm glad we got defensive, but I would tell any investors listening now, I wouldn't overthink this. Just make sure your own plans are in place. I don't think we're going to have some kind of big crash or a bear market or anything. I think cooler heads will prevail. But here in the near term, you are going to have to fasten those seatbelts because I don't think this is over yet.
Well, you also have, you know, even Trump on Sunday on the Sunday show is not ruling out a recession. And you can't because there are some forecasts for negative growth in the first quarter. Now, technically, the definition is two quarters in a row, right? Negative growth. We might have that, but there's still, you know, we thought we were going into recession 3 years ago and that never happened, never manifested itself.
That's exactly right. And so for the first time, you're right. In the first time in a year or two, we're starting to hear that dreaded R word. And, you know, it's possible. Look, if this thing gets dragged out, because, Mark, here's the deal. With President Trump, he is a business guy through and through. I mean, he knows how – he's the art of the deal guy. He doesn't really worry so much about the economics of it. He doesn't really care about that. He doesn't get into the weeds of that kind of stuff. And that can be problematic because there are unintended consequences for this kind of a business approach to a multi-trillion dollar economy because of the tentacles that spreads into so much more of the economy. So you've got people with very large corporations. I know some of these CEOs, and they're saying, we are not hiring right now. We don't know what things are going to look like for a few months. And if we get any kind of a bout of a return of inflation because of higher prices in this little tariff war, then that is also problematic. So that's why I'm saying I don't know the end game here, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, and you know, that's what it makes it difficult because the tariffs are very difficult to, I think, to understand. And there's so many nuances to them. For example, the last time Trump did this, and my understanding is maybe there's not going to be as many carve-outs, but there were some carve-outs that were exceptions made. I know Australia, for example, is looking for a carve-out here on some of the, it might be aluminum. So in the end, maybe there's going to be some deals cut. I just don't know how it all kind of settles down. And in the end, manifests itself in a better U.S. economy with more manufacturing here, because that's really the promise.
That is. I think this is a little unnecessary, at least the way that we're going about it, the approach. I looked at a chart recently. It's very interesting, Mark, that it's the percentage of tariffs that we put on other foreign countries, which for decades has been historically low. Even though we know, yes, do some countries take advantage of us? Absolutely. China probably being number one. They take advantage of Americans' insatiable appetite to consume. So we run a deficit, believe it or not, with more than 100 countries. We do not run a trade surplus with very many countries. And yet, despite all that, we have continued to emerge as the world's number one economic superpower, even with people perhaps taking advantage of that. So if you say, well, we're not going to do that anymore, and we're going to make it an even playing field, my worry is the medicine worse than the virus itself? And
well,
that's my concern.
I have that concern as well. Look, Howard Lutnick is the Commerce Secretary. He says over the weekend that, and I get everyone's going to be on the same page right now, right? The president's tariffs will make some foreign products more expensive, but American products will get cheaper. I don't think that's how it works, really. And, you know, you're going to have first of all, if you use foreign components and you're a manufacturer here, you're going to have to raise prices anyway, or you're going to have to swallow, you know, fewer profit margins. So some of the claims here, and I'm not an expert on the economy or tariffs, but some of the claims here seem very unrealistic.
Well, you don't have to be an expert, Mark. You hit the nail on the head, really. This is Econ 101. Tariffs are inflationary. They are a tax on products. Now, you could say, well, this is just going to bring more business and more jobs and more manufacturing here to the U.S. That's fine. But you're also not going to pay those employees $2.50 an hour, like you get from a lot of the cheap products that we import. So you have to really, I'm all for targeted tariffs. There's no question we've been taken advantage of in certain areas, especially from China. You go there, but this whole thing, you walk into the room with a chainsaw and with a howitzer, I know that that's Trump's style of governing. It served him well in private business, but I really question it in the manner that it's going about now.
Well, look, I think even Trump might be questioning some of it. I've talked about this even a couple of times today. There was some interesting reporting on Friday from the New York Times about a cabinet meeting that took place, I think it was even on Wednesday evening, where there was a lot of pushback to some of the stuff from Secretary Rubio and also Sean Duffy at Transportation. So, and at that meeting, it was said that there's going to be more of a scalpel approach as compared to the, burn everything down. Do you, though, Dave, do you have any understanding? One of the things I see out there on social media, I've had people share this with me on Twitter, for example, and there's been some memes that have been shared. When it comes to our tariffs on Canada, people are like, wait a second, look at all these tariffs that Canada does to us, 250% to 390% on dairy products. How do you even come up with those numbers of 250%? Because that sounds like large amounts, but you're probably doing 250 or 390% on what, just 20 cents or 30 cents?
Yeah,
because otherwise the numbers would be astronomical.
Question. Yeah, I look, I'm a free market capitalist through and through, and I say let the free market figure this out. So if indeed there's really some 250% tariff on a particular product, to your point, well, what's the product? What's the cost?
Yeah.
Why is it there? And yet, I get back to my point, we're not only the number one economic superpower in the world, but we have continued to widen the gap. 10 or 15 years ago, we were about 50 to 55% of the world's market capitalization. We are now 74%. That's an interesting number. If we're being so taken advantage of economically, why has the gap in productivity and market capitalization widened? So that's why I get back to the fact that I think targeted tariffs are fine, but this whole go in and with a scalpel, or not a scalpel, but basically with a ball peen hammer and hit every other country between the eyes and then see who cowers first. It's not the way that I think Wall Street wants, for sure, and Wall Street is speaking loud and clear with these big declines we've been getting.
I mentioned at the beginning, Mr. Ford up there in Ontario, who was very, very livid about the Trump tariffs, was talking about 25% on electricity for three states. He pulled that back. Lutnick's going to meet with some of these guys Thursday, so maybe some of this settles down for now, but it has been crazy, and I think there are realistic concerns out there. But Dave, always great to have you on. I really appreciate it.
Mark, as always, next time we'll talk as the market rebounds.
That's right. Hopefully that'll be like by Friday. That's my hope. By the way, on the topic of the tariffs, there was part of this that I didn't really understand today. So this got a little interesting in the briefing room. Carolyn Leavitt was taking questions, and this was a guy from the AP. I'm sure that someone's written a story about this. Let me just Google, because, the media loves to cover themselves. So this AP reporter, of course, this is written about. All I had to do was Google. I was just trying to find this guy's name. He asked a question. I'll find his name after the question. Here we go. Here's what it sounded like.
If we could just step back for a second. When President Trump last addressed the BRT when he was on the campaign trail, his big push was on tax cuts. Mm-hmm. He's going there today as he's proposing tax hikes in the form of tariffs. I'm curious he's prioritizing that over the tax cuts.
All right, so this is just so you know. So this guy is Josh Boak, and he's making the case. Now, Carolyn pushes back on this. I'm not sure she gets all this right, but she's making the case that the tariffs aren't a tax. Essentially, the tariffs are taxed. The American companies, if they have to pay the tariffs on Canadian companies or Chinese, whatever the situation, they're not going to just absorb that. They're going to pass it along to us. That could be inflationary. I mean, that's my economic theory, but here's the answer.
It's actually not implementing tax hikes. Tariffs are a tax hike on foreign countries that, again, have been ripping us off. Tariffs are a tax cut for the American people. And the president is a staunch advocate of tax cuts. As you know, he campaigned on no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime, no taxes on Social Security benefits. He is committed to all three of those things, and he expects Congress to pass them later this year.
Okay, a couple things about that. First of all, the guy from the AP is not all worried about the Trump tax cuts that need to be extended so then everyone in America doesn't have to pay more taxes, right? He's very narrowly focused here on the tariff issue, and he says something that I don't really understand. We'll see if you can understand it.
Sorry, have you ever paid a tariff? Because I have.
They
don't get charged on foreign companies. They get charged on the importers.
Okay, now that's true, but when he says, this guy from the AP says, have you ever been charged a tariff? I have. Well, I've not been charged a tariff directly. I mean, does he have a manufacturing company? Maybe he does. Maybe he's just an AP reporter, part-time.
It.
But that was kind of an interesting comeback, wasn't it, here? And you'll hear his, yeah, you'll hear her response.
Sorry, have you ever paid a tariff? Because I have. Don't get charged on foreign companies. They get charged on the importers.
And ultimately, when we have fair and balanced trade, which the American people have not seen in decades, as I said at the beginning, revenues will stay here, wages will go up, and our country will be made wealthy again. And I think it's insulting that you are trying to test my knowledge of economics and the decisions that this president has made. I'm now regret giving a question to the Associated Press.
Oh, there you go, Carolyn, slapping down the AP. You know, I would kind of take her side on half of that, and I don't understand why that guy had to personalize it that way. I have. Well, my question would be how? What, in what form did you pay a tariff? But I also think that there's something to this notion that, you know, we're talking about extending the Trump tax cuts, but we're also talking about tariffs that are increased pretty rapidly on some of these companies and some of the products, and it's just going to have to be passed along to us. So you can call that a tax cut or a taxing, I don't care what you call it. It's just going to be more money out of American taxpayers' pockets to buy some of these things. Will it maybe settle down? Is there a bigger picture philosophy? Sure, there is. Will that work? I'm nervous about that. I really am. Cut of the day coming up. Fish Fry Fridays continue. This Friday we'll be in Colville at the Knights of Columbus Hall. It's going to be awesome. We hope to see you there. We have Assumption Parish on the list the following week on the 21st, Queen of All Saints. Both of those are in South County on the 28th, St. Mary Magdalene in Brentwood on the 4th of April. Ott's Tavern on the 11th of April in Millstadt, Illinois. Brian Kilmeade coming back to St. Louis here in just about a week and a half. He's going to join us on the show tomorrow. And there are still VIP meet and greet tickets available for Brian at briankilmeade.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. You get to meet him. You'll also get a copy of his latest book that is pre-signed. So that's a extra benefit. And my understanding is if you already have tickets to the show and you want to add the VIP component, you can do that. By the way, all of this is sponsored by Bob and Tammy Hershaw of the Retirement Advisory Group. Before I get to cut of the day, you just shouted something out during the break that Rosie O'Donnell has moved to Ireland. Is that my understanding?
Yes. Her quote is, she will return to the U.S., quote, when it's safe for all citizens to have equal rights.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Really?
I'm not sure
good
what that
riddance.
Means. Safe for all citizens to have equal rights?
I don't know. She, you know, I'm just disappointed that I couldn't contribute to the GoFundMe that might have gotten her over there, because I would have been a fan. You know, we can put a whole more on an airplane. I think that would be something that I'd be even willing to have my tax dollars support.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, let's do a little fun one here, because there's lots of tension with tariffs, etc. Elon and Trump, as we started the show today, they were doing a little Q&A outside of the White House, and Trump was, you know, kind of tooling around he wasn't driving it, but he was walking around a Cybertruck, and he was praising the Cybertruck. And Peter Ducey asked a question here, because Trump says he wants a Tesla.
Is there a discount? President Trump wrote the art of the deal. Is there any kind of room for negotiating here?
Let me answer that. I know he'd give me a discount, but honestly, I don't want to ask for one. You know, I'm president, so I want to pay full price.
And what is your message, President Trump, buying a new car while there are some folks who will see this clip at home and they are struggling with their retirement accounts, down at the moment, uncertainty about work ahead?
Well, I think they're going to do great. I think our country had to do this. We had to go and do this. They've taken away, other countries have taken away our business. They've taken away our jobs. I did it initially very strongly against, as you know, China and some others in the first term. And it was a very successful term. We had no inflation. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country. And then we had COVID, which we had to straighten out.
Yeah, well, and again, I addressed the COVID situation. Really, really interesting new book on Dr. Fauci, which does not make him look good. And these are from scientists who were all in on the lockdowns and people that thought it was the right thing to do, who have looked at the research and the information and the results and the after effects, including, you know, kids being behind 3 years in school. And they said, huh, we kind of screwed this up. So I'm hoping to get one of the authors on. Yesterday on The View, they had Dylan Mulvaney on. Dylan Mulvaney of the Bud Light controversy. Remember all that?
I wanted to ask you, because there's been all of this debate about whether transgender athletes should be able to compete. And last week, California Governor Gavin Newsom said that he thinks that trans athletes competing in girls and women's sports was deeply unfair.
She's laughing during that question. 80% of the country, 67% of Democrats think that it's unfair, including, by the way, Gavin Newsom. But she's mocking this and laughing about it and asking a biological male to respond.
Now, I want to hear what you think, because I'll tell you what I think, too.
Yeah. The last time I played a sport, I was 6 years old, and I was on a soccer team, but I assigned myself as the nurse. So I sat with the Band-Aids. And so, in the words of Wicked, I am not that girl. A dear friend of mine, Skylar, he is a trans athlete. His handle's Pink Manta Ray. That's someone who I really look to for guidance. And, and I think that is what's tricky is, like, now stepping in this identity, I'm still like a baby trans. I've only 3 years in. Tomorrow's my anniversary.
Oh my God. So today is the anniversary. But this is where it gets crazy because Whoopi's crazy.
I think part of the problem that the trans community is facing, and it's the same problem that women face, is if you don't know anything about our bodies, you don't know how it works. Mm-hmm. So when you come in and you say, these are men competing against women, you're assuming that the women are weak and just can't do anything except
what?
Have you seen female athletes? They know what they're doing.
That's the best she could come up with, that female athletes are pretty good shape. So anybody that comes along with a male, set of organs and muscular.
Having gone through puberty.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a male.
She's out of her mind.
Yes, she is.
But that's The View. What can you say? Sue, have a great night.
You too.
We got Kill Meat on tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com.